Well, it looks like it's going to be a sunny day here in Ohio County. Finally, after several days of rain this Friday morning, I'm meeting, talking to you on a Friday morning, looks like we're finally going to get some sunshine. Well, we've kind of longed for it, haven't we? Of course, along with the rain comes the grass growing, and means mowing got to be done again. But hey, I think we're all going to be a little happy to see the sun shining again. Well, glad to be on the radio with you. I'm Kevin Dunn, your host, pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church out on Goshen Road. And it's a real treat and a real joy to be able to talk to you folks by the miracle of the airwaves. You know, when you think of the airwaves, you think, you know, we often take it for granted. You know, we turn on our televisions, we turn on our radios, all of these things that operate not with having the messages go through cords, but go through the airwaves, the electromagnetic currents, billions of them flying around the airwaves. And someone's figured out how to get on these different airwaves and tune in to the radio station or the TV station that you want. And it's really a miracle when you think about it, the miracle of modern communication. Well, I'm certainly glad that we have that, because I'm able to talk to you folks, and the gospel is able to be preached around the world, you know, through satellite technology, through radio, through television, all of these things. And I'm just very glad for the miracle of the electronic airwaves. Well, been quite a week this last week for me personally. I've mentioned before that my wife, she's been going up for treatments in Louisville because she's got a slight touch of melanoma. Started off as a scab up on her shoulder, and then they did surgery on it and declared that she had that cancer cells down deep inside her skin. They surgically removed those, and she went through a series of 18 treatments up there in Louisville once every third Thursday. And I'm happy to say, and I thank the Lord, we went for her last treatment, her 18th treatment yesterday. And the fun part of it was after the treatment was done, the nurses, the medical staff there, and wonderful people up there, by the way, what wonderful people, they came around her door and they all cheered and clapped and gave her a sheet with her name signed on it. But the most fun part was ringing a bell. They have a bell installed in the hallway, and when someone successfully comes through their series of treatments, they get to go out, take the little cord that holds the ringer on the bell, and they get to ring that bell. I've finished my course. I've gotten to the top. I've completed the series of treatments that I've come here every couple of weeks to receive. And so my wife got to ring that bell, and we were so happy, and people were cheering and happy because she had successfully come through her treatments. Well, it was a happy day for all of us. And, of course, she has to go back every few months to find out if the treatments actually worked. And I think that they did. We're very optimistic about it. And we just thank the Lord for the miracle of modern medicine. Now, I know that maybe some of you are going through illnesses now. And I have several dear friends who are going through illnesses and getting treatments. And some may do this successfully. Some may not. Some may succumb to the disease, the cancer, or whatever disease it may happen to be. We live in a far less than perfect world. We all know people who are sick, people who have died from diseases. We all know that life can get pretty cruddy sometimes. And it's the reality of this world that we live in. Rest assured, this was never God's intention. Never God's intention that we live in that kind of a world. Back in the Garden of Eden, sin, death, sickness, illnesses, accidents, broken bones, broken bodies. These were not something that Adam and Eve knew anything about until the fall happened. And they opened the door for the devil to insert himself. And the reason why we're suffering so many things today, all of the things that we've gotten so used to, is because of sin in the world. And it may not be your personal sin. You know, sometimes someone gets a heart attack who's treated themselves absolutely well, who's never smoked, never drank, never put too much weight on. People get cancer. People get heart attacks. People get all these things. A lot of times, these are sicknesses that we may bring upon ourselves, okay, because we don't always eat the right things. We don't always partake of the right things. But sometimes these things just happen because we live in a wicked world. We live in a sinful world. Well, I thank God for modern technology, modern medicine, and the miracles that medicine has accomplished. But we're not there yet. Every sickness hasn't been cured yet. Every disease hasn't been eradicated yet. And so we just look forward to the day when, with the second coming of our Lord, when this immortality will put on mortality and this corruptible will put on incorruption, when God's people are changed in the twinkling of an eye. So If life were perfect on this earth, what would we need heaven for, right? So, anyhow, I'm glad that you've chosen to tune in today here to Advent Hope. You know, it's a show that I look forward to presenting week after week, and I just pray that it's a blessing to some of you folks. Now, I do get pretty deeply into the Scripture. I use a lot of Scripture verses from time to time. Today, I want to talk about the issue of truth. What is truth? Is there different kinds of truth? Now, when we talk about truth, you know, in our current relativistic world, some have defined it as postmodernism. Often people define truth as whatever is true to you, maybe true for you, whatever is true for me, maybe true for me. Let's all get along. And people tend to structure their own truth system, okay? And this is irregardless if you go to a church, don't go to a church, if you call yourself a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a non, nothing at all, no religious affiliation at all. It's irregardless. We all tend to structure our own system of truth and say, well, I believe this and I believe that, without any really support behind it. Okay, often we kind of pick and choose what we choose to believe in. Some call it cherry picking. Well, I like this, so this is what I believe. Well, I like that because somebody on television promoted that, so I'm going to buy into that. Well, that's kind of a weak way to choose truth, isn't it? It's kind of a fallible and often leads to destructive thinking, destructive behaviors. And so we need to be careful what our source of truth is. Now for me, and I believe for many folks here living in Ohio County, the ultimate source of truth is God and His Word, His written Word. Some of you may disagree with that, and you're entitled to, or we're in a free country. But I happen to believe, and having studied the Bible since I was about 9 years old, I believe that the Bible is an authentic, reliable source of truth. And the question is, do we study our Bibles? Do we read our Bibles? Do we look to politicians and do we look to celebrities and sports stars and everybody that gets behind a microphone and makes some declarations? Do we rely upon them or do we go to the source of truth? John 17:7 says, "Thy word is truth." Let me make sure I'm reading the right verse. John chapter 17 and verse 17. "Sanctify them," Jesus said, talking about his disciples. Jesus praying to his heavenly Father, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." When God speaks, it's truth, always and forever. When God speaks, it's truth, okay? And his truth is spoken through his holy word, the written Bible. I was thrilled when I was watching television the other night. I was watching one of the news channels, and they were interviewing these young people, Gen Zers they call them, people born after, 2000, college age, young adults, we and our older people would call them kids yet, but they've been looking around, and they've been realizing that politicians and scientists and philosophers and all these highly educated people, there are issues in life that are beyond their ability to fix. They, you know, the people that look to the government, and I'm not opposed to government, you know, I'm not an anarchist, you know, but government has its place. People that look to politicians, people that look to scientists, I'm not against science. I love science. I think science certainly has its place. People look to these humanistic sources of truth to fix their problems. Many of the young people in states like Alabama and Georgia, they're realizing there's only one source, one who is capable of ultimately fixing our problems, and that is God. And in some of the universities, especially down south, but last year, of course, we had that big revival that took place at Asbury, over towards Lexington, Asbury University, a big revival attended by thousands of people. People coming to the conclusion that life's deepest questions are not solved, they're not resolved by human efforts, but they can only be resolved by divine power, by trusting in God. And so it was a joy to watch scenes from these revivals taking place among Gen Zers, again, young people, young adults. And they were having these big revivals on these college campuses, and they were sitting in on the sports stadiums and wherever they could find a venue that could gather large crowds of young people. And these young people were praising the Lord, and they were singing, and they were raising their hands in joy. They had found the answer to life's deepest questions. They had found the truth, that the truth resides not just in a church's doctrinal beliefs, And, you know, your church may have its beliefs. My church has its beliefs. But ultimately, truth resides in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And they were getting connected with Jesus. And what was really special to see, they were showing how down in the University of Georgia, I believe it was, they were having a big old baptism service. Now, most churches believe in baptism of one sort or another. But they had taken a pickup truck, and they had filled the back of the pickup truck, the flatbed, with water. And they were baptizing these young kids in the back of the pickup truck. Well, hey, wherever there's water, okay? It doesn't have to be a formal baptistry like in a good church, you know? But they were baptizing in the back of a pickup truck. And these kids were jumping up out of the water and shouting and praising God because they had accepted Jesus. Their lives had been miraculously transformed. Now they had a real purpose for living. They had real meaning in life. Now they were connected with God. And they realized that God is the only real source of truth. That God is the only one, only being in the universe, who is capable of dealing with life's deepest issues. Well, it was a joy to watch this. It was a joy to see these young people, by the thousands, gather together, acknowledging that their parents' wisdom may not be adequate, may not be enough. The boomer generation and the Generation Xers and the millennials, all of these different categories of people that have come through the phases of history here in Western culture. But they were realizing that with all the accumulated wisdom that we've gathered from our high-tech culture, from our consumeristic society, but all this accumulated wisdom was not enough to offset the truth, the real truth. We need God. We need God. We need this transcendence. We need divine intervention. We need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus, he was talking to his disciples one day. Well, he was talking to the crowds, actually, in John chapter 8. And John is a great gospel to read, okay? If you're looking for answers for your own life, I suggest you carefully study the Gospel of John. Now, John was written a bit later than the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. They were written a bit earlier. John was written towards the end of the first century. And John, the old apostle, had time to reflect upon the person, the being of Jesus, what the meaning of the Christ event was. And John reflects the truth again and again that Jesus is not like other men. Oh, he was truly man, but he was also God in the flesh. He was the one who was preexistent. He is the one that God sent from heaven to be God's representative, God in the flesh, for us. And in John chapter 8, in verse 31, and just by way of context, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people who had all kinds of questions about him because he had been speaking in the temple, and who is this man? Oh, how dare he speak to us, not having the proper credentials? By what authority does he speak? Well, Jesus speaks to this crowd. John 8:31 said to those Jews who believed him, he said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." You want to be a disciple of Jesus? Study his word. Abide in it. Live in it. Grasp it. Understand it. Okay? "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You catch that? The truth will make you free. Free? Free from what? Well, the people listening answered him, "Well, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage. What do you mean? What does this make us free? What does this have to do with anything?" And obviously, reading the context, Jesus isn't talking about being free from the Romans. He's not talking about being free from the price of the reward, the consequences of committing criminal acts and things like this. He's talking about freedom, spiritual liberation. He's talking about being free from the darkness that is imposed upon this world by the prince of the air, what the Bible calls the prince of darkness. He's talking about freedom from illiteracy, a spiritual ignorance. He's talking about freedom from misconceptions about who God is, what kind of character this God has. Is God someone that we can truly be a friend of? Is God someone that we can believe truly loves me, cares about my life? Is God, as I've said a number of times in the past, is he real? Yeah. Jesus came and demonstrated that God is real. Is he relevant? Does he have anything to do with my life? Okay, does he have anything to to demonstrate that my life is more meaningful and more successful and more purposeful because I believe in him? And is he relational? Remember, I've talked about the three R's in the past. Is God real? Is he relevant? Is he relational? Well, I'm kind of a messed up sinner. Why would God want to relate to me? Why would God want anything to do with me? Well, as you study the life of Jesus, you realize that God wants everything to do with sinners. Jesus was chided from time to time because while the Pharisees, while the righteous people, quote-unquote righteous people, they hung around among themselves and had deep conversations of the letter of the law, and they tended to be exclusive, and we're in and everybody else is out, you know. We're the in group because we got the law. We follow God the right way, you know. And Jesus often had meals. He would accept invitations with people like Matthew, who was a publican or a tax collector, okay? He would hang around sinful people. The sinful people would gather at these home gatherings. You know, and I'm talking about sinful people. You know, what we today would, you know, prostitutes. Today we would talk about drug dealers. We'd talk about abusers. We'd talk about all kinds of people. Jesus was hanging around these people. And the righteous, put in quotes, couldn't comprehend why Jesus would hang around sinful people. And when they challenged him on this, if you remember his answer, he said, it's not the healed, it's not the healthy that need a physician, but it's the sick, it's the ill, it's the depraved, it's the deprived. I have come to seek and save the lost. I didn't come to heal the righteous. I've come to seek and save the lost. And something about the true character of God is revealed here as we realize God revealed through Jesus Christ, God seen in the person of Jesus as far as his character is concerned, as far as his intention is concerned. You will know the truth about God, Jesus is saying. And if you know the truth, this truth will set you free. Well, you find that truth mentioned many, many times throughout the Gospel of John, throughout other parts of Scripture. Knowing the truth, being Jesus' disciple, you'll know the truth will set you free, free from misconception, free from misunderstanding, free from the darkness of this world, and liberated into the light of his grace, his mercy. So a true conception of God is what it's really about. I've been telling people, you know, in the sense of to a hammer, everything is a nail, okay? Think through that for just a moment. If I'm a hammer, everything's a nail. Well, I'm a pastor. I'm a theologian. I'm someone who has grown up reading the Word of God. And I see every problem that we face in society today having its roots deeply embedded in theology or one's understanding of God. Your understanding of God has a lot to do, I'm suggesting, and I may be going out on a limb here a little bit, but your understanding of God has a lot to do with your emotions, it has a lot to do with your psychological makeup, it has a lot to do with how you deal with life, your sense of meaning and purpose in life, why am I alive, what is my destiny, do I have a reason for being here on earth? Your understanding of God powerfully affects all of these avenues of your life. Because if I believe in a God who's a harsh, dictatorial, who gets his greatest delight into sending sinners to hell, then I'm going to tend to have all kinds of depressive, neurotic thoughts going through my mind. But if I believe in a God who's a friend of sinners, like me, if I believe in a God who loves to save people, he gets no delight in the death of the one who perishes. Ezekiel 18 tells us he gets no delight in destroying sinners, but he wills that all repent and be saved, all be delighted in his salvation, all come to know him as a personal friend, as someone that we can trust in. And oh, yes, we stumble, we fall, but God doesn't give up. As long as we remain within the confines of a relationship with him, God still treats us as his children, as his friends. So when Jesus is talking about you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, this truth is as it relates to him and the image of God that we get because we have a relationship with him. In a later chapter, he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead. And in John 16:13, he calls him the Spirit of Truth. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, notice he doesn't say it. Okay, I just want to pause for a minute here. There are some people that think that the Holy Spirit is some kind of a divine force, you know, like the force be with you, Star Wars, you know. No, Jesus always calls him a he, calls him a person, refers to him as personal, okay? But in John 16:13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will say, he will tell you things to come. Okay, the Spirit of Truth. It's as we get closer to God through the indwelling Spirit of God that we understand the truth more and more clearly. Going back to chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, talking to Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so if you want to know the truth, then you know Jesus. If you want to get deeper into the truth, you get closer to Jesus. If you want to experience truth for yourself and its life-changing power, study the life of Jesus. You find that he was definitely a friend of sinners. He was one who delights to save, not to condemn. He is one who we can trust to be a friend to us, regardless of our status in life. You may be looking at yourself and, oh, Kevin, if you only knew the things I've done. If you only knew how much I've messed up my life and the life of other people close to me. If you only knew. Well, God knows. Jesus knows. He doesn't condemn. He desires to save you from those things that are destroying. Okay? So, the truth is ultimately wrapped up in the person of Jesus. Okay? Now, there was a man by the name of Pontius Pilate who Jesus stood before as he was getting ready to be crucified, and Pilate was trying to get Jesus released, and I'm reading in John chapter 18, and he asked Jesus, chapter 19, verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Okay? If you understand the truth, if you're of the truth, if you're pursuing truth sincerely, you will hear his voice through the scripture. You'll recognize the truth when you read it, when you hear it, and you will be converted by it. But Pilate says to him, what is truth? And rather than listen for the answer, he goes out. He walks out. What is truth? What is truth? And he doesn't wait for the answer. He kind of represents our current generation today. What is truth? Do people hang around to listen? Do people really want to know the truth? Well, one aspect of the truth, and I'm going to talk in Christian terms right now, there's at least two aspects to the truth, okay? There's two kinds of truth that I talk of in the terms of Christian experience. One is what I call saving truth. The other is what I call testing truth, okay? Saving truth and testing truth. Saving truth is when a person, male or female, whatever culture, wherever they come from, when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that is a saving truth. That person is a Christian. That person is a believer. That person is someone that God has saved from their past, saved from their sins, and he offers forgiveness free, purchased by the blood of Jesus. That person is a Christian. That person is saved. But then, as I read through many passages throughout the Bible, and I'm talking about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, I'm talking about Abraham told to sacrifice his son, I'm talking about the Israelite people in the wilderness told to gather double the amounts of manna because God wants to test them, that theme of God testing his people, and they're his people, but he continually tests them to see if they will follow the truth. And he gives them test upon test, and he, you know, and again, they're already his people. They're saved. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about the Israelites. They were saved through the passing through the water of the Red Sea. They were baptized, in effect, through walking through the waters of the Red Sea. And Paul admonishes us, because they're examples to us, just because they were saved doesn't mean they're ready to go to heaven quite yet. They need to be tested. And so they were tested, and the Israelites failed in the wilderness. Abraham passed the test. He was willing to offer his only son, Isaac. Adam and Eve, sadly, tragically, failed the test. And that's why we're in the mess we are today. So you find this pattern going all through the scripture. God doesn't just give saving truth, but he gives us testing truth. Okay, you say you love me. Are you willing to obey me? Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. All right? There are many Christians who say, well, the commandments are done away with, well, the commandments are nailed to the cross. Oh, that is one of the most gross misuses of scripture you'll ever find. Okay? People will say all kinds of things not to have to keep the commandments, not to have to obey God. All right? So when we talk about Christians being tested, we're talking about God bringing them to through an experience in life whereby their faith in him, their trust in him, is put to the test. And, of course, even the Lord Jesus Christ there in the wilderness, he had just heard the voice of God as he was coming up out of the water of the Jordan during the time of his baptism. You are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. God had made that declaration from heaven. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost, represented in the form of a dove brought down upon him. He was declared to be the Son of God by the voice of the Father himself, and immediately he's driven in the wilderness to be tested. Three incredibly powerful tests as he tempted to do things on his own rather than completely follow the will of the Father. And so Jesus himself was tested, and of course, we get tested every day. How strong is our loyalty to God? How willing are we to obey God, even if it costs us something, even if it means sacrificing something, even if it means I might have to give up my very life rather than disobey God? Well, we'll probably talk some more about that in future discussions, but it's pretty popular today to say, well, I got saved. But the question is, are you ready? Are you spiritually prepared to stand any test that God puts upon you? In Daniel, boy, I'm jumping around here, I know. In Daniel chapter 8, it talks about this religious entity that grows in power during the early Middle Ages. And in verse 12, it says, because of transgression, a host was given over to the horn. Well, okay, we won't describe what that is today. To oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast truth down to the ground. He did all this and prospered. Cast truth to the ground. We're living a day and age, my friend, when truth itself is being challenged. Again, like I said earlier, many people work to construct their own truth rather than receive the truth that is given in the Word of God. Many people use what I could call an eclectic form of truth. Well, I'm going to pick and choose from this religion or this non-religion. I'm going to pick and choose from this scientist or this philosopher, this Hollywood celebrity. I'm going to kind of build my own structure of truth. Whatever I choose to be true, well, that's going to be true. And whatever you decide is true, it's an age of relativism. That's what they call it, relativism. Truth is relative. Whatever you choose to be your truth, well, that goes totally against the counsel of the Word of God. The Word of God says Jesus is the truth. The Word of God presents 10 commandments as his standard of truth by which we are to be judged. The Word of God presents the Holy Spirit as the one who leads us into truth if we're willing to be led into truth. And so my admonition to you, my friend, seek the truth as if your very life depended upon it. And it's true, eternal life depends upon it. There was a story, an old story about a man who came to a young man who approached an old man and said, sir, how can I find the real truth? And the old man took the young man out into the middle of the water. They were by a river, and dunked his head underwater and held it there for several seconds. And finally, he let the young man bring his head up out of the water. And the young man says, why did you do that for? He gasped me for breath. Why did you put me underwater? And the old man says, when you're looking for truth like you are your next breath of air, then you'll find it. Friends, we have to invest in this. We have to sacrifice our time sometimes to search out the truth. We need to spend time in the Word of God, okay? Don't just take your preacher's word for it. You may have wonderful preachers, wonderful Bible teachers. They do their best to accurately present to you the Word of God, but read the Word of God for yourself. Be a student of the Bible. Be a theologian, if you will. Now, theology is not a bad word, you know. Some people associate it with meaningless stuff. But understanding more about God, this Heavenly Father, who delights to save us, who delights to reveal himself to us through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, who went about doing good, the God's ultimate revelation to us, Jesus Christ. And so get to know him better. Study Gospels like John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get to know this Jesus. You'll know the truth. And like Jesus says, the truth will set you free. Thanks for listening to Advent Hope. I hope that you've enjoyed today's message. I hope that you are challenged. I hope that I stepped on some feet from time to time, because sometimes we need to be stimulated to wake up and realize it's so important that we understand God's truth. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.